Last week, the federal agency in charge of immigration began accepting some forms via the internet, part of an effort to reduce a crushing load of cases. The agency's backlog came under heated criticism after it became clear immigration officials had lost track of the 9/11 hijackers. This past March, the newly named Bureau of Citizenship and Immigration Services was put under the Department of Homeland Security. Officials say a new mandate is slowly bringing change. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports.
So far, more than 1,500 people have zapped in applications for work permits and work authorization via email. For an agency whose offices still overflow with reams of paper documents, immigrant advocates greeted the change as a big deal in theory, but in practice,
not as big as one would have hoped. The problem is that while it's e-filing, it is not e-processing.
Crystal Williams is with the American Immigration Lawyers Association.
So that, say, if it's going to the California office, California right now is working on filings that came in at the first of the year. So this is going to be placed behind all of them that were filed by paper from January 1st up until May 28th.
That's true enough, says Tracy Renaud of the Bureau of Citizenship and Immigration Services, or BCIS.
We wanted to start small, and e-filing is a little bit ahead of some other things that would help support it.
Namely, faster and bigger computers. Right now, the agency has neither the high-speed modems nor the storage capacity to process e-applications. And as it tries to fix this, it must also consider how to bring online millions of paper documents already in files, so many that Renaud's colleague Patty Cogswell says they're stored in a cave in Missouri.
We hold records for a minimum, most of the time, of 85 years. This is not something that is just kind of your common everyday grab a piece of software off the shelf and you're only going to need it for a year or two and you can migrate to the next thing. We have a huge responsibility to preserve these records. Someone who applies for citizenship today, their grandchildren can come back to us and become naturalized based on that record.
Cogswell says the agency is committed to an overhaul but can't change overnight. Officials learned that the hard way last summer. Attorney General John Ashcroft announced the government would suddenly start enforcing a long-ignored rule. Foreign nationals would have to notify the government that they'd moved within 10 days or face deportation. That brought an onslaught of 30,000 change-of-address forms a day, with no extra staff to sort them. Stacks of them still sit in storage, while the notification policy remains unenforceable. Larry Gonzalez is with the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials. He says much of the problem still comes down to the immigration agency's chronic underfunding.
To be fair, there has been congressional appropriations in the past, which, frankly, the INS has misappropriated, has mismanaged. So it is kind of a tough sell to Congress. However, the president has talked about an initiative to reduce the backlog and has offered $100 million in each of the last two fiscal years to help reduce particularly the naturalization backlog, which now sits at about 650,000 people.
Yet the backlog has only grown, in large part because of more intensive security checks. And many applications languished while immigration staff were consumed with a recent special registration program for Muslim males, another national security initiative. Gonzalez, for one, is willing to give the revamped Immigration Bureau the benefit of the doubt. Efficiency may well improve, he says, but like everything at the agency, it will take longer than expected. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.